leading scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Greetings and welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. I'm Patrick Wood, Editor-in-Chief and Founder of Technocracy News and Trends. You can find our website at technocracy.news, not .com, but .news. Today we're going to dive into the topic of quantum computing. Don't worry, it could twist your mind, but we won't go there. Quantum computing is one of the latest areas of computer technology that is sweeping the world. It is a little bit sketchy for many people to get their head around, but nevertheless, it's advancing forward. Hundreds of millions of dollars are being poured into it. And China, at this point, is seeking to be the world leader in quantum computing. Quantum technology is important for China because it could potentially lead to total domination over internet security, censorship, and control. And Chinese technocrats are absolutely intent on leading this disruption. The article states, more than a decade ago, Chinese physicist Pan Jiwei returned home from Europe to help oversee research into some of the most important technology of the 21st century. At a conference in Shanghai this summer, Pan and his team offered a rare peek at the work he described as a revolution. They spoke of the hacking-resistant communications networks they are building across China, the sensors they are designing to see through smog and around corners, and the prototype computers that may someday smash the computational power of any existing machine. All the gear is based on quantum technology, an emerging field that can transform information processing and confer big economic and national security advantages to countries that dominate it. To the dismay of some scientists and officials in the United States, China's formidable investment is helping it catch up with Western research in the field and, in a few areas, pull ahead. Beijing is pouring billions into research and development and is offering Chinese scientists big perks to return home from Western labs. China's drive has sparked calls for more R&D funding in the United States and helped trigger concerns in the Trump administration that some types of scientific collaboration with China may be aiding the People's Liberation Army and hurting U.S. interests. The Center for a New American Security wrote a recent report about China's quantum ambitions and said, quote, "The United States must be prepared for a future in which its traditional technological predominance faces new, perhaps unprecedented, challenges." Close quote. Quantum technology seeks to harness the distinct properties of atoms, photons, and electrons to build more powerful tools for processing information. Last year, China had nearly twice as many patent filings as the United States for quantum technology overall, a category that includes communications and cryptology devices, according to market research firm Pat Informatics. The United States, though, leads the world in patents relating to the most prized segment of the field, quantum computers, thanks to heavy investment by IBM, Google, Microsoft, and others. We'll stop there before we get too technical because, as I said, quantum computing can tangle your mind. But it is interesting to point out that IBM, Google, Microsoft, and others are the very companies that are pushing technocracy throughout the world, big tech, if you will. And China is leading the charge right now. They've already developed a quantum computing system that can transmit encryption keys in satellites orbiting the Earth. This is revolutionary indeed, and if China can succeed in hack-proofing its internet, then it will be impossible to spy on anything that takes place in China. In other words, as far as the internet is concerned, China could literally go dark as far as the rest of the world is concerned. The next story today involves censorship. Well, censorship is everywhere these days, so why not? Green New Deal proponents, associated with people like AOC and Senator Bernie Sanders, are demanding that climate deniers be silenced and censored. Now, of course, they want free speech, but they want everybody else to just shut up. Green technocrats, I wrote, are demanding that global warming critics be silenced because they are exposing the total fraud being perpetrated on the world in order to promote sustainable development, aka technocracy. That's my assessment. They don't like the fact that anybody is calling them out as fraudulent. So the answer is, shut them up. The article starts out, the climate mobilization, a group pushing for a World War II scale national mobilization to fight global warming, condemned the media for pursuing objectivity by giving airtime to climate deniers. Aligned with Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the organization wants the media to silence all voices opposing their climate alarmism. Some media outlets are sacrificing the future of our planet for the sake of appearing objective, said Margaret Klein Salomon, founder and executive director of The Climate Mobilization, she said in a news release Saturday. She continued, the idea of equating climate deniers with scientific experts is a dangerous practice which frames the threat to our planet, our existence, as an ongoing debate. She added, I don't think sacrificing the future of our planet in exchange for a look of objectivity isn't even exchange. It's one the coming generation will judge us on. If we don't move with the urgency necessary to fight back against global warming and win, she said. In other words, climate alarmists aren't just calling for radical changes to America to stave off some hypothetical climate disaster. They're also calling for opposition voices to be silenced. Science can only have one voice, and that voice must be Chicken Little. The climate mobilization seized on a Newsweek article about a study from Nature Communications. The study's authors claimed that the U.S. news media gives climate change deniers too much prominence by placing people with little understanding of the complexities involved in the same league as top scientists. It's time to stop giving these people visibility, which can be easily spun into false authority, University of California Merced Professor Alex Peterson said in a statement. Peterson and his team traced the digital footprints of voices for and against climate alarmism across 100,000 media articles. They found that about half of mainstream outlets seek out climate-denying experts. Many outlets will present both sides of the issues, including one scientist echoing the climate alarmist mantra and another expert who disagrees and who therefore must not be a real scientist, the article suggested. The study's author, Professor Leroy Westerling, said, it's not just false balance. The numbers show that the media are balancing experts who represent the overwhelming majority of reputable scientists with the views of a relative handful of non-experts. He continued, most of the contrarians are not scientists, and the ones who are have very thin credentials. They are not in the same league with top scientists. They're not even in the league of the average career climate scientist. Yet, the Nature Communications study notes that 224 of the 386, quote, climate change contrarians, close quote, quoted by the media, have at least one publication in peer-reviewed scientific journals. The study did not mention how many of the climate change scientists quoted by the media had published articles, but the authors selected 224 of their papers and showed how their papers were more heavily cited. The study also parroted the blatantly false claim that there is a scientific consensus on the issue, citing a Cook study from 2013. The Cook study notoriously represented the scientific literature to claim a 97% consensus, and activists continue to cite it as if it were the gospel truth. The study analyzed all published peer-reviewed academic research papers from 1991 to 2011 that used the term global warming or global climate change. Of the nearly 12,000 papers analyzed, the study discounted 7,930, or 66.4%, because they allegedly did not state a position. Then the study added up the papers it claimed endorsed man-made climate change and the papers it claimed opposed man-made climate change, and found that 97% of the papers that stated a position favored global warming. But here's the kicker. Many scientists whose papers were included in the study complained that the papers were misrepresented as supporting man-made global warming when they did not. So the bottom line, the Green New Deal crowd can't stand the criticism, and they continue to float the false narrative that there is a general, even a 97% consensus among scientists that they are right and everybody else is wrong. In any case, they do claim that their science is right and everybody else's science is wrong, and all of those people that continue to parrot the other side should be silenced and simply excluded from the discussion. Our third story today, and probably the main story, is very disturbing, and it involves a young 16-year-old girl from Sweden by the name of Greta Thunberg. She's become the poster child for the Green New Deal and climate alarmism, but it has nothing to do with democracy. Instead, it has to do with technocracy. Greta doesn't understand this, however. She's only 16 years old, and she has a boatload of personal problems on top of it. The article starts out by saying, "Behind the schoolgirl climate warrior lies a shadowy cabal of lobbyists, investors, and energy companies seeking to profit from a green bonanza. Whatever Greta or her parents know or think, her eco-mob increases the likelihood of legislation and investment that will make colossal profits for people like Global Challenge, We Don't Have Time, and Sustainable Energy Angels. For Sweden's energy titans, saving the planet means government contracts to print the green stuff. Green energy lobbyists use populist scare tactics and a children's crusade to bypass elected representatives. But their goal is technocracy, not democracy. Profit, not redistribution. Greta, a child of woke capitalism, is being used to ease the transition to green corporatism." Now, this paragraph was the conclusion to this article. I highly recommend that you read the article in its entirety just to get the sense of how phony the put-up is to push Greta to the forefront to represent the green climate alarmism that's going on today. She is activating an army of young people to rise up to manipulate leaders and legislators around the world to adopt sustainable development, which is, of course, technocracy. The author of this article has it exactly right. They're not fighting for democracy. Their goal is technocracy. And I'm afraid that Greta and some of the people around her have absolutely no idea of what they're doing. My comments on this are quite telling. 16-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg has become the poster child in the Green New Deal, but it has nothing to do with democracy, but rather technocracy that is behind her elite handlers. Now, on April 23rd, 2019, just a couple of months ago, Quillette reported that, and this is a flashback of Greta's life, Greta is 11 years old and has gone 2 months without eating. Her heart rate and blood pressure show clear signs of starvation. She has stopped speaking to anyone but her parents and her younger sister, Vita. After years of depression, eating disorders, and anxiety attacks, she finally receives a medical diagnosis. Now, this is Greta. Asperger's syndrome, high-functioning autism, and OCD. That's obsessive-compulsive disorder. She also suffers from selective mutism, which explains why she sometimes can't speak to anyone outside her closest family. When she wants to tell a climate researcher that she plans a school strike on behalf of the environment, she speaks to her father, close quote. So, I wrote, Greta suffers from Asperger's syndrome, obsessive compulsive disorder, eating disorders, anxiety attacks, and severe depression. Is this really the new face of climate emergency, or is she being shamelessly used by her technocrat handlers? And indeed, the following story gets it exactly right. Their goal is technocracy, not democracy. Greta is a sad story of an apparently very disturbed young lady who is not only young and naive, just in a worldly sense, but she also is perhaps unable to fully understand how people around her are manipulating her for their own benefit. Her parents are apparently involved in this manipulation as well, since her father is very closely monitoring and sponsoring all of her activity around the world. He may not know either. It's more likely he has a hint because somebody is contributing money to them to continue their efforts. But Greta is a victim, I fear, and she has absolutely no idea of how people are using her for their own nefarious goals. If you are alarmed about the encroachment of technocracy upon the world, and you're alarmed to the point of wanting to do something about it, especially in your local community, then I have a place for you to be on October 12, 2019. And that is at the Citizens for Free Speech Phoenix Fly-In in Phoenix, Arizona. This one-day event will bring together leaders from around the country who have had experience in successful activism. They've been able to generate successful strategies that work to push back against the enemies of America and the Constitution. Some of you know that I started Citizens for Free Speech early last year when I realized that big tech organizations were colluding together to censor important voices throughout America. The attack is on, and we all know already, if your eyes are open at all, that our local communities have been thoroughly saturated with policies that have come down from the United Nations primarily, not exclusively, but things that include Agenda 21, 2030 Agenda, New Urban Agenda, Land Use Abuse, Smart Grid, Smart Regions, 5G, all of these things are coming together at the same time to not only give people a fright, but a giant headache. And they know that if they don't get involved themselves, it'll soon be too late to do anything about it. Citizens for Free Speech was established originally as a nonprofit 501c3 organization to promote and defend the First Amendment. You know what that is. Things like free speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, freedom to exercise religion, freedom to redress our government for grievances. You know all of these things are under fierce attack like never before in history. If we lose the First Amendment and the right to speak, we will lose everything, because the only fallback position that's provided for in the U.S. Constitution is the Second Amendment. And I might add that the framers of the Constitution knew exactly what they were doing in putting the First Amendment first and the Second Amendment second. So we have committed to have a one-day intensive, strategy-oriented meeting with leaders from around the country who want to be effective in local activism, who want to get a seat at the table to be heard, who want to make a difference in their community to push back on all this nonsense that's coming down from the United Nations, from the Green New Deal, from the climate alarmism. Frankly, we're tired of our lives being invaded by Chicken Little, and it needs to stop. But as our director of training says, very astutely and wisely, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's on the menu for dinner. So if you're ready to take action, if you aspire to be a leader in your community, please go to citizensforfreespeech.org and sign up for our one-day Phoenix fly-in on October 12, 2019. There is a small charge to cover the cost of the hotel. That's only appropriate. We want to keep everybody fed, hydrated, and alert for all the things that we're going to learn. You can see the experts that we have that we're bringing in from around the country. You can see some of the other things that Citizens for Free Speech is all about. But by and large, buy a ticket, get your travel arrangements taken care of, and beat a path to Phoenix, Arizona for October 12, 2019 for the CFFS Phoenix Fly-In. You won't regret it. You'll go home energized and with tools in hand that have been proven to be effective and other communities in our country. My friends, we need to take serious action. We have no time to waste with trial and error anymore. We simply need to know what works and what we can do to make a difference in our own communities. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.